Amen. It's a joy to be here. Love your pastor and his wife. They're sweet folk, and you ought to be thankful for the good pastor you have. After I retired, I was preaching around, but also interim pastored for a couple churches that didn't have a pastor, and believe me, it's not an easy thing to find it, not only a pastor, but a good pastor, and those churches are doing great now, but so thank the Lord for your pastor that God directed him here, and good folk, and be praying for him. I told him about 3-4 years ago I broke my leg working on this parsonage for our assistant, and so I kind of know what that boot thing's like, but so be praying for him. It's good to be in God's house, amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's take your Bibles and turn, if you will, to Hebrews chapter number 10. And after you find that, turn to Revelation 1 and put that little ribbony thing there in Revelation 1. It's good to hear what you're doing with all your veterans and helping there. My son's church in Spokane Valley, they have a veterans ministry there. And reaching some veterans, it's a real blessing. And okay, if you're able, let's stand as you read from God's Word. We'll look in Hebrews chapter 10, verse first. Verse 24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And then he says, and so much the more as to see the day approaching. What day is he talking about? Coming of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then let's move over, if you will, to Revelation chapter 1. In verse 9, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in the tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as a running trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus and to Smyrna and to Pergamos and to Thyatira and to Sardis and unto Philadelphia and unto Laodicea. Lord, thank you for the word this morning. Lord, we thank you that we can be here today. We pray, God, for your power to be evident. Lord, I pray that you give me that unction from on high to deliver the message that we need to hear. We want to hear from you, not me, Lord. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. When I was in Bible college, I went to Bible college many years ago. What a school was good at that time was in Bible College in Springfield, Missouri. That was in the early 70s, so I'm telling you my age. Interesting, in those days, on Sundays, all the stores were closed except they rotated. Understand, this is a city of 200-some thousand people. They would have grocery stores rotate to be one grocery store open on Sunday and one gas station for emergencies. In fact, back then it was before Walmart. My wife worked at Kmart, and Kmart was closed. And they closed on Sundays. The parks and streets on Sundays were pretty much empty except for people on their way to church.
Amen.
Yeah. In fact, public schools didn't have anything going on Sundays. And most of them didn't have anything going on Wednesday nights because they knew that was prayer meeting time. Why? Well, Sunday's the Lord's day. This will shock you. The days we live in today. I read an article about in 1956, Good Friday through Sunday, in New York City on the Empire State Building and two others, they had three crosses hung, lit up through the night. And the skyscrapers, it showed about the Lord Jesus Christ in New York City. Someone wrote, my heart was moved to think that about that time when publicly and culturally we were not ashamed to invoke not only God but invoke Jesus Christ. Amen. It's a neat, you can probably go online and look and see this picture. It's pretty impressive. It shows three Wall Street skyscrapers emblazed with bright crosses, lights turned on inside each building to illuminate the image of the cherished Christian symbol against the darkness of unlit rooms and the night sky around them. Mr. McFarland said this, the historical record is that our country was founded by Christians on Christian principles. Our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, our advocacies for human rights around the world, the foundation of our faith in human rights were birthed with Christian DNA. Amen. If we want to retain a free, safe, prosperous, stable America, it really behooves us to acknowledge those foundations that made us free, safe, prosperous, and stable. And like it or not, that foundation was Christianity in all of its permutations. We live in a nation now where, how should I put it, Sunday is just another day off or play day. Right. So, well, here at church, preacher, well, I'm glad you are. Just bear with me. People have this idea, well, it's my day to do what I want. That's Sunday. Sunday's my day. Or it's our family day. Or here's a popular one, that's NFL day. If I have time, preacher, there's the games on, but I'll come to church if I can work around it. Even among Christians, a lot of them will say things like this, well, we can only make the morning service because family is coming in from out of town. Okay, what does that have to do with it? Or, pastor, can't we start an earlier service? I mean, or even have a service on Saturday. I'm actually, in the Jewish calendar, Sunday begins at 6 o'clock on Saturday night, so why don't we have a Saturday service? Because Sundays were so busy, it's hard to be faithful. I'm sure that doesn't happen to anybody here, okay? Now, understand that Sunday is not the Sabbath day. They were to keep that day holy. That was in the Old Testament. But understand, it's an important day. Well, Sunday fits into the category, this is the day that the Lord has made, we will rejoice and be glad in. Amen. Every day is God's, is it not? Amen. However, though we're not under the law, we do celebrate the resurrection every Sunday. Yes. We don't have to wait for Easter to celebrate it. We do it every Lord's Day, every Sunday. Yes. The title given the Lord's Day is a good title. The Bible says the disciples met on the first day of the week. Yeah. Now understand, my preacher used to ingrain this when I was a kid. Sunday is not the weekend. That's the beginning of the week. Yeah. If you want your weekend, do that Friday and Saturday, but Sunday is the first day of the week. Start it with God. Yeah. Amen? Amen. Acts 20, verse 7, it says, the first day of the week when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them. How about that? So, if you know the Lord, how as believers should we live our lives in relation to the first day of the week or the Lord's Day? And I understand how the world lives on that day. That's the world. But what should be the behavior and spirit concerning that day as God's people? What does the Bible say concerning the Lord's Day? Amen? That's what we want to know.
That's right.
Amen. Well, number one, I think we ought to come in the right attitude. Notice John says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. I mean, we ought to come to church with the right attitude that we're ready to hear from God. And man, excited to be in church.
Amen.
I mean, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. I mean, that should be our attitude. Right. Amen?
Amen?
When we come to church. I mean, we love the Lord and the people of God, and we ought to be joyful you have a place to go. and a place to serve God. You got to come at peace in your heart, ready to receive from the Word of God. Also, we need to come long-suffering with others, because not everybody's started off with a good day. True?
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, be gentle with the family. Let me say this. The devil knows when you're going to church. And some reason, family's had a great week all week, and Sunday morning they get up and we start arguing over stupid things. I mean, we've got to come with faith to God. For all, he's provided the needs, and instead, a lot of times people come, they're angry at someone at church for something they said, or they're grouchy because you and the wife had an argument today. Where'd that come from? You didn't have one all week. Hey, I'm preaching over you. Nobody here has those problems. I know that. Okay. I mean, maybe you're like me in driving. Someone pulled in front of you when you're driving away to church. Man, you my wife has to elbow me every so often. It just depends. Don't worry about it. Okay. Maybe you're frustrated about, well, I got my tithe to give today, but man, they're going to be short on bills. Wouldn't it be wiser to come to church prepared with you and your family before you arrive at church? Yeah. Have a little time in the Word before you come to church. That won't hurt you, will it? Okay. I mean, pray for peace and direction that you'll be ready to hear from God and God can work freely in the service with you. Amen. And have all your family, even little ones, coming to expecting to hear from God.
Good.
Maybe sing a song with the kids. I don't know. See, the devil's design is for the church people to arrive at church angry and upset and frustrated, anxious and fearful, and then coming to church, and boy, what kind of attitude is that? I feel for the pastor when he gets up and preaches in there.
Amen.
Yeah. I mean, let me say this. Your pastor will appreciate this. If you have a problem, don't come to your pastor and tell him before he gets up to preach. It's not a good thing, okay? Wait till after service, okay? But, you know, not all those things not only make it difficult for the pastor to preach, but the lost who come can feel the tension in the church.
Yes.
It's not helping their spirit to hear from the Lord. When I was pastoring Longview, you had a lady in the church that was always upset about something, and it just so frustrating to me. I mean, I remember getting to lead my neighbor to the Lord and brought him to church. We were having a dinner that day, and she started... We're lining up for the dinner, and she started wailing and complaining about people in the church. And I could never get that family to come back to church. And I don't blame them. It's a shame. You know, we ought to come in the right spirit. John says, I was in the spirit of the Lord's day. Amen? Also, we should remember whose day it actually is.
Yes.
This is where it hits home. This is the Lord's day.
Amen.
This isn't your day to decide what to do. So, preacher, I didn't come to church to hear about this. Well, this is the word that God laid on my heart, okay? Listen to me. This day, there isn't any part of any day, this day, that is yours.
Amen.
I say, well, man, preacher, that's going to mess up my plans today.
Good.
This is God's day.
Amen.
I mean, you can give me one day a week, surely. I mean, we say, well, preacher, we're not under the law, so, you know, no, come on. You quit making excuses. It's a day to lay aside from the rest of the week to worship, honor, contemplate, fellowship, grow in grace, and hear from the Word. It's a great day. Now, sadly, many build that day around themselves, you know. And something like church interferes with the schedule, but we make it work. What schedule's that? Many approach it as this is just another one of our days, and God ought to be glad that we took a couple hours out and broke into it so we can give him some time. He ought to be happy with that. Some believe their job is more important than God. And I understand, there's some jobs, man, hospital, I mean, fire, some of those things, those kind of jobs you have to work Sunday. I understand that happens. But it shouldn't be a priority. You ought to be looking for the kind of work that you can have Sundays off.
Amen.
It's the Lord's day.
Yes.
Yes, you know. I remember a lady in our church in Kalispell years ago when she worked. She's retired now, but her and her husband, good folk. And she worked at a grocery store, Super One Foods there in Kalispell. And they had her work Sundays, it's rotating around. And she says, you know, preacher, if just the Christians in the town would not come into our store on Sundays, they wouldn't make enough money to stay open. They'd close on Sundays. That's true. In fact, I started thinking about it. I'd get donuts Sunday mornings for our bus workers before they'd go out. And so I started to do it. They were stale by Sunday morning. I get them Saturday night. So, but it's true. You know, we don't think about that. We're so caught into our culture that we forget this is God's day. You know, if our day is built around the Lord, we'd gain so much more in our spirit and in our faith with the Lord. You know, what's important, you know, a lot of people lose their kids when they grow up. It's because the things of God are not important to the parents.
Yes.
Your kids watch that. They say, man, it's God's day, kids. We're giving it to God. And they pay attention. They watch you. More than what you say, then they see what you do. And so you're thinking, preacher, should we do nothing else but go to church and sit there and pray? Well, you know, all activity really should be built around God.
Amen.
I mean, you eat, you pray, thank the Lord. You know, activity isn't wrong with it. Fellowship, time, it's good. There's a lot of things we do, but it's all built around God. Mm-hmm. The church services should be the basis for your schedule on Sunday.
Good.
Nothing should interfere with the priority of God Himself.
Amen.
Now, remember, God's watching. He knows what your attitude is on this. And, you know, there's other areas of schedule, and all the remaining schedule of the day are fill-ins, but nothing should interfere with giving God the right honor on the Lord's Day. Third thing, we should remember who is the audience. Say, well, we're the audience, preacher. No, it's the Lord's Day. In truth, this is something a lot of Christians don't even pay attention or they forget with time. You come to church, God's the audience. We're singing for God?
That's right.
Amen. Hey, Colossians 3, let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms. That's singing, that's putting music to the psalms. Hymns, that's the songs that are from message from us to God. And spiritual songs, that's the songs from God to us that, like, I don't have time to get in the hymn book, but Victory in Jesus. We have Victory in Jesus. That's a spiritual song. And then he says, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord.
Amen.
You say, well, preacher, I can't sing on. I can't sing a note on key. Well, God doesn't care about that. He just cares that you sing from your heart to Him.
Amen.
If you sing out and you're off key and maybe bothers other people around them, that's their problem. You're singing to God.
Amen.
And everybody, when it comes, a song leader gets up here, we ought to join in and sing. I love singing to God.
Amen.
And God's watching. He's watching if you sit there and I'm not into music. Well, are you into God?
Amen.
So whether you can carry a tune, you should do your best to Him because He's the audience. The special music. I love that ensemble. You guys are great. And then the song, well, we enjoy it, but understand we're joining in with them to give praise to God.
Amen.
They're the people that can sing on key and play on key. And so you can join and be a part of this, and we're doing it for God. Yeah. And also we're coming before Him. It's the Lord's day.
So, you know, we ought to come before him with our best attire. That's why you dress your best. Try to look your best. I fixed a few hairs I got on my head. You know, I try to come in a tie, and I try to make myself look as best I can because I'm doing it for God. It's his day. I mean, people go to football games in unique attire. Some of it's very weird, but they're recognizing their team. And we're coming here to God, and, you know, suppose, you know, I don't know who your governor is. You're going to meet your governor. You'd probably go in your best attire. We're coming to for the God of heaven,
Amen.
The Creator. We ought to look our best, look something that glorifies God. And ladies, something that's very modest and yet glorifying to God. God give you beauty. Come as looking as beautiful as you can for God. See, God is always present at church services here. Yeah. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. Now, he lives in me. Yeah, he does. But his presence is even greater in a church service. And that's why, you know, that's why the Holy Spirit, the preacher, we were talking about this yesterday. Sometimes I'll get up, man, I think I got a message that's powerful, and get up and preach, can't wait, and nothing happens. Then I'll preach something that's just, I think, is lousy. I did a lousy job, and the altars are filled. Because it's all about God.
Amen.
It's not about me. It's not about you.
Right. Amen.
You know, God's always present in the services. He lives in your heart, but he's in a greater fashion here. Imagine putting yourself in the Israelites in the wilderness at Mount Sinai. The mountain's trembling. There's smoke on the mountain. And you know, every morning you get up, I mean, you go to sleep with this little trembling in the tent, and you get up the next morning, and there's the mountain's rumbling. You think it might affect your attitude? The presence of God would be there. Well, God is still here. He may not be rumbling on the mountain, but he's here. God's watching what's going on every Lord's Day service. He wants you to, I think we ought to look our best, listen our best, sing our best, and respond to the preaching with all your heart. Amen? Well, there's one other thing we ought to pay attention to this. We ought to remember how important the Lord's Day is in this age we live in. Look back again in Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 24, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as a manner some people are, you know, some is, but exhorting one another, and then he puts this emphasis, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I love America. My love waning in America as it used to be. Because of the wickedness of this country.
Right.
I think God maybe is getting us as a people to know our future is not this home, but it's with the Lord.
Amen.
But it's a mess. Country's a mess. We need provoked before the Lord more than ever before because of the garbage we have to walk ourselves through every day. We need regular doses of preaching and teaching in these latter days.
Yes,
remember, Brother Davison and I were talking, Sam Davison, I don't know if you know him, but great preacher, one of my favorites. But he says, isn't it weird how a lot of these churches, they start cutting out Sunday night. First they cut out Wednesday night and then Sunday night. And he said, what is it that we need less preaching? I said, you're right, Sam. We need more of it, you know, especially the day we live in. The temptations are greater in these days. The wickedness, both of the government and everything around us, cause greater discouragement. He says we need provoked. That means to sharpen. We need sharpened with God more.
I remember I was working on we were building this parsonage I mentioned in Sunday school for our assistant, and I like construction, except I don't like the concrete work. I don't know. Anyway, we're down in this. We dug this hole, and we're in Montana. You got to go at least 3.5 feet down on your foundation footing, you know. And so we're getting ready for the footing and getting the forms up, and a rain comes by, and we have to. The next day, we get out, and it's a mud hole down there. And we're working around in that thing. I couldn't wait to get home and get a bath. I mean, I was a filthy, I don't lie. I'm not a guy that likes mud squeezed between my toes. I'm sorry, I'm just not one of those kind of people. And so I was just sick and tired of being filthy. And, you know, it's like that in this world. You spent the week in this world. Aren't you kind of tired of the garbage? You just want to shake it off. You need to come to church and get cleansed a little bit. Yeah. How serious are you affected by missing services? What if day after day you worked in grime and manure and never washed it off? I don't think you'd have a lot of friends. Your wife may, I don't know, well, anyway. Yeah, that's why I have a midweek service, amen? We need a little time to get some of this junk off. I mean, it's like, finally, I need to get it delivered from this. Some miss the services. He says, as the manner of some is. And when they do, they miss out on so much. Amen. And I understand one of your deacons wants to be here. Those things happen where you can't be here, and boy, it's frustrating. But it's so important, the powerful presence of God. I say, well, I can watch online. It's not the same. I mean, the growing of your faith in God amongst other believers around you, the fellowship of other believers, and the conviction by the Holy Spirit as the Word of God is preached, all those things. You know, Word of God, first Hebrews 4 there in Hebrews, is quick and powerful and sharper. Man, it cuts to the asunder of the soul and the spirit. It's down into the quick. We need that. Amen. I like hard preaching. How about you? So if you're wondering why you're struggling with discouragement, depression, anger, frustration, maybe unruly children, troubled at every turn, ask yourself how your church attendance is. That may answer a lot of simple questions. So much the more as you see the day approaching. And so we ought to remember why the Lord's Day is important. I just said it. It's the Lord's Day. Yeah. This is the day Christ arose. Did you ever think about it? You come to church this morning. Hey, this is the day Jesus arose. That's our victory. I mean, my hope in future is because Jesus is alive. I can't believe how many people go after dead prophets. What's a dead Muhammad going to do anybody? Why would anybody? It's a stone image. We have a living Savior. Amen. He says, for as an Adam, 1 Corinthians 15, as an Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Yes. Amen. The first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last man, Adam, was made a quickening spirit. Yes. He gives you new life. You know, my life is in the Lord, so I want to be around God's people. I want to worship the Lord with God's people. I have, thank the Lord, I got a church where you can bring lost people to hear the gospel. In truth, if you know the Lord, I've always told our people the church is kind of a little bit of heaven on earth. And they say, well, wait a minute, it's not perfect. No, we're still in the sinful state. And they have our problems. But at least you can get away from the things of the world and get around the things of God. That's focus, that's the focus principle here. Yes. You know, such the actions of God's people concerning the Lord's Day, it makes us stand out like white elephants in this world. True Bible Christianity is not typical religion. You are standing out. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 4, we're made a spectacle unto the world. God makes you stand out. Your neighbors are watching you every Sunday. In fact, they're watching you probably Wednesday night. So, well, you're not even aware of it. But God makes you a spectacle. When I was in Bible college, I worked at a feed mill, MFA Feeds. Well, I was buffing those days. I'd pick up a 100-pound feed bag in each hand. Now it'd pull me. Anyway, so I worked on this, had these chutes. We were catching feed and load them on these carts. And it was a big metal table there, and the feed would drop down, and Jerry, another preacher boy, and I were on the same catching feed off this line. Anyway, the foreman, Herman, came walking up, through this door out of nowhere, because he knew we were Christians. We had devotions there. We reached guy for the Lord at the feed mill. Old Herman, who was the foreman, he walked up in kind of raspy voice. He said, "My neighbor says he's a Christian. It was Sunday yesterday. He was out there plowing his field. What do you think about that?" And he turned and walked away. And Jerry said, "What was that about?" I go, "Oh, he's watching us. He's watching those neighbors. He sees the little things you do, and he's categorizing that in relation to your walk with God." My grandfather used to wear, he called them spectacles. He wore glasses. Why? So he could see things clearly. I need to wear reading glasses on occasion. You're out there so that the world can see things clearly about God. What are they seeing in your life about the Lord's Day? Is it important? They need to see how important God is to us in everything we do. And maybe you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord Jesus, and you say, "Well, I got an excuse now. I know Christians that don't serve God." That's no excuse for you. You're still going to stand before God. Yeah. The actions by Christians does not change your responsibility, your accountability before the God of heaven. Amen. In fact, the behavior of Christians today was prophesied by our Lord.
Yes.
He says, "Iniquity shall abound, and the love of many shall grow cold," in Matthew 24. So there's no excuse. You still need the Savior. You're still going to face God. You must make the decision personally to come to the Lord. No excuses out there. And I'm sorry that there's Christians that don't give that right testimony. But you still need the Savior. And God didn't bring you here accidentally. You're here so you could hear the word preached that you need the Lord. You need to come. You need to come to the Savior. We're going to have an invitation. Because of the way the platform is, there's a few little differences. If God's dealing with you about things and you need to kneel at your pew, you do that. If you want someone to pray with you, then raise your hand and ask for someone to come. But if you don't know the Savior, platform doesn't matter. Just come forward. Someone can take the Bible and show you how you can come to Jesus. You get saved today. You can leave this place knowing you have a home reserved in heaven for you. Let's stand together. Lord Jesus, I pray now that you bless this invitation. Lord, you know the condition of each one's heart. And Lord, Christians, maybe you're dealing with about things in their life. Maybe it's not even something I preached. But Lord, you're speaking to them. I pray that they deal with it now, not put it off. But most of all, if there's someone here this morning that does not know Jesus, oh God, give them the courage to step out and come to Christ. Put aside all the excuses. and know that now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. We commit this invitation into your hands now. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.